I'm glad that I know Him in the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm glad that I know Him, and I'm glad that, we're all headed to the same place. Hallelujah. Amen. On this very last night, I want to give special honor to your wonderful pastor and his sweet wife and family, Brother and Sister Grisham. Amen. They are people that are chosen of God for this hour for the city of Athens. I do not believe it was by accident that God brought them to Athens about 6 or 7 years ago, however long it was. I believe that they are God anointed, God appointed, and God ordained for this church. Amen. You can search far and wide. You will not find you will not find a man and a lady that is more qualified, that love people more, that love truth more, that love the Word of God more, and that love souls more than Brother and Sister Grisham. Amen. And we have a connection with them going all the way back to the 80s. And he traveled with my father, the late Brother Daniel Calk, on an overseas trip. I believe it was to the Holy Land, if I'm correct. Yes, I am correct. Amen. I'm glad that I checked because I don't like to get things wrong. Amen. And my father was a missionary at heart, and he shared with me the great times that they had. And I've known the Grishams for many years. You may be seated. I had the privilege to work with Sister Grisham at the Christian school there in Houston, Texas, where I went K through 12. And I was privileged to teach physical education, and she also taught there at the school. Great memories that we will treasure for the rest of our life. I want to thank Brother Grisham for trusting me to be able to be here these past couple of nights and days, and to minister. That is not something that is taken lightly and something that is taken for granted. And it has been an honor to be able to minister in this great church. Amen. I feel like it would be in order and it would be appropriate if we give Brother and Sister Grisham a standing ovation for their labor, for their sacrifice, for their love, consistency, and steadfastness, and everything that they have done, not only in the city of Athens, but for the kingdom of God. God bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. The greatest gift that God could give any of us is a pastor. And you're blessed to have the pastor that you have in Brother Grisham. He is real. He is genuine. He is authentic. He is a Christian. He lives what he preaches, and he preaches what he lives. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight will be the last opportunity if you want to purchase something from the table. And I am very well aware that there is a dinner tonight after church. But if you don't mind taking a quick detour through the foyer and taking a look at some of the things that we have, or if you want to do it afterwards, that'll be fine. But we have several items that are for sale. And basically our table, it goes to help and assist with our traveling expenses. We are full-time evangelists, and we do derive our livelihood from the ministry, from preaching revivals and meetings. And so anything that you would like to do, you could be a blessing by purchasing some of our things. And again, I will mention there are probably 3 CDs that my dad left, and I think there's 2 or 3 of my grandfather, Brother Kilgore, and there's several of my mom and my grandmother that are left over. And then also, if you are interested in ordering some of my CDs, I give my personal testimony in these CDs of how I overcame grief and the death of my father. I talk about grief. I minister to those who have been through emotional distress in life, just to give you a couple of examples. Divorce, abuse, rejection, and then what I had to suffer as a very young man when I buried my father at the age of 15. And so those are available, and all of the CDs are for $5 a piece. Again, I want to make one last promotion. It looks like my wife's CDs have already sold out, so if you want to order any of my wife's CDs, you can do so by putting your name and your address, and then if you will go ahead and pay us for it up front, I will make sure that it gets in the mail to you this week when I get home. You will definitely want to pick up one of my father. He ministered with tremendous anointing on the subject of two different worlds. He talked about the temporal world and the eternal world, and it was at a time in his life that he was sick with cancer that eventually took his life. And that message will encourage you, it will build your faith, or anyone else that's going through a trial. And then also my pastor, my grandfather, Brother Kilgore, he has a message about how to keep the victory when you're going through the storm. That is a must listen to. And I'm just proud to be able to call Brother Kilgore my grandfather and my pastor, great man of God that has had an impact upon the kingdom of God. And then also there are some of my mother, Sister Jan Madden, very gifted, anointed speaker. She is someone who rises every morning at 5 or 6 in the morning and prays for every member of her family. It is her prayers that have kept me, and I thank God for that. Also, one of my grandmother's, Sister Kilgore, a woman of great elegance, radiance, and inward and outward beauty, and someone who ministered to people, was very personable. And some of you may remember my grandmother, Sister Imogene Kilgore, from some of the Texas Ladies Conferences in Lufkin. She preached some very prolific hallmark keynote address messages in some of those conferences. And then also my great-grandfather, C.P. Kilgore, part of the foundation of the apostolic movement. And he preached many brush arbors. Many people came to the Lord. And so I wanted to throw that out to you and make one final push for it tonight. And if for no other reason, if you want to be a blessing to our ministry by purchasing our things, it will be available at the end of the service. Amen. I want to give honor to Brother Jared Cheshire. He's a great person. Wonderful, wonderful man of God. And he has been a tremendous help to me this week. He has blessed me in several areas, and I just want him to know publicly that I love him, I cherish his friendship, and this church is very blessed to have the Cheshires. Amen. Amen. Then also, Sister Hunt, I want to thank her for helping me with the table. Every single night of the revival, she has done a tremendous job. And then also all of the ladies that cooked and everything that you've done. And thank you for the beautiful evangelist quarters. It beats any hotel that I've stayed in 10 years. Amen. Blessed be the Lord. I'm thankful for what God did today. I'm thankful for what He did last night. I'm thankful for what He did Friday night. I believe that this church will never be the same. I believe you're going forward in revival. You're going forward in evangelism. You're going forward with the passion and with the purpose. Amen. And I'm excited to hear about some of the reports that are going to happen. Amen. In the months and in the years to come. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I just want to let Brother Fry know that it only takes 5 minutes. He'll talk to you about that 5 minutes after church. And then maybe we can fill you in on what we mean by 5 minutes. Oh, praise God. I'm fixing to get in trouble up here. Amen. Well, hopefully I didn't forget my message. There's something about being, there's some scripture in there. It talks about being instant, in season and out of season. Hopefully I'm not out of season tonight. Oh man, I'm going to tell you right now, I need an iPad. I need one desperately. In the name of Jesus, He's going to give me an iPad, and I don't have to carry and tote all this stuff around. Amen. Okay, I know you're in here. You're hiding from me. You know as well as I know that God wants to work through you tonight. So you might as well show yourself. And show yourself right now. There you are. You just thought that you were going to get out of it. Amen. It's all right to have fun in church, isn't it? He has come that we might have life. We would have it more abundantly. The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I've been feeling this on my heart all week. And I truly believe that God wants to encourage and build up the body of Christ tonight. For the first two nights, the first 48 hours of this revival, God has dug on us. God has worked on us. God has basically turned us inside out and upside down. He's even leaned us over His knee and spanked us a little bit. But today, God honored His people for the simple fact that we honored His Word. God filled people with the Holy Ghost. God added to the church. And He wants to bless us. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4 and 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I want to minister from this subject tonight, the gospel according to me and you. The gospel according to me and you. Father, anoint your word in the name of Jesus. I take authority and dominion over anything and everything that would be in opposition to your will and your purpose and your plan. Let your word be loose to edify and to strengthen. God, we are thankful for what you have done the past three services. But we're also aware, God, that you want to do more tonight. So we are looking ahead. We are looking ahead in the next 30 minutes or so to the awesome, glorious things that you want to manifest in this place before we turn the lights out on the very last night of this revival meeting tonight. Let your will be done. Let your word not return void. Satan, you are a liar, and you are the father of all lies. We have already dealt with you, and now we command you in the name of the Lord to take up your weapons and flee in the name of Jesus right now. Amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. The Apostle Paul uses the imagery of a fortress as an illustration of spiritual warfare that he waged. Overlooking ancient Corinth was a hill 1,857 feet high, and a fortress was located on top of that hill. The Apostle had a reputation of destroying spiritual strongholds. And I would submit to us tonight, if the Apostle Paul could deal with the strongholds in his life, then we have enough power, if not more power, to deal with the strongholds in our lives. Are we still here? Amen. Does anybody want to help me preach a little tonight? Is anybody still excited about the Word of God? Is anybody still excited about revival? Is anyone still excited about what God has done and what God is still doing? It's time that we stand up and recognize and know who we are. are capable of doing, what we are capable of accomplishing. It is the gospel according to me and the gospel according to you. So, the fortress towers and captives are a representation of the arguments, thoughts, and plans that Paul was opposing. Clearly and emphatically, Paul cast down every rationalization that was opposite of what God's opinion was, of what the Word of God declared. I am preaching to some of you tonight, and as I begin to speak, your minds are racing 50 million different directions. You're thinking about the meal after church. Some of us are thinking about if we're not going to go eat the meal after church. Well, I better not say that. I don't want to disappoint the youth department. Amen. Some of us are thinking about summer vacation. Others of us are thinking about graduation, if we have any seniors here tonight. Some of us are thinking about the election coming up in just a matter of months. Is it going to be Obama for another 4 years? Or are we going to elect Mitt Romney? And so, all of these things, they come against our mind. We can be in an atmosphere such as this, and we know we've learned how to praise. We've learned how to worship. We've learned how to clap our hands. We've learned all the do's and don'ts of coming to church, but yet our mind is somewhere else. It could be that some of us are thinking about the NBA playoffs, and if the Spurs are going to win, or if the Thunder's going to win, or if the Lakers are going to win, or anything of that nature. My Lord, I hope the Lakers don't win. You can't be full of the Holy Ghost and be a Laker fan at the same time. Amen. And so all of these things come against us. They try to take us away from the things that are most important, from the things that count, and the things that matter, the things that God wants to do at that moment and at that time. Paul said, I cast down, I tear down, I dismantle every stronghold and everything that would distract me and take me away from the purpose of God, from the plan of God, from the will of God, and what He wants to do in my life. Hallelujah. But then it goes deeper than that. I'm thankful for the ones that receive the Holy Ghost today. But I will be very honest. There are some of you that should have broken through. But the truth of the matter is, and I feel in the Holy Ghost, that you have convinced yourself. You basically have built up an idea in your mind that you cannot do it. You cannot make it. There's no way that God can save you or fill you. You've lied to yourself. We dealt with the devil the first two nights, but we're not dealing with them tonight. We're dealing with the man in the mirror. We're dealing with us. We're dealing with our flesh. Your greatest enemy is not the devil. Your greatest enemy is not the demons of hell. Your greatest enemy is not some witch doctor who has a camp out here somewhere. Your greatest enemy is the one that I'm looking at and the three fingers that are pointing back at the one that's talking tonight. We are our greatest enemy. We are our greatest adversary when we get a hold of ourselves, when we get a hold of who we are, and we say, I'm not going to be ruled by negative thinking. I'm not going to be ruled by stinking when miracles are going to happen. That's when the supernatural is going to happen. That's when people are going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And that's when revival is going to break out in a way that we've never seen before. We've got to tear down those kind of strongholds in our life. He took captive to the obedience of Christ. I'm going to tell you what the greatest temptation we are facing at this moment. Well, we've gained a lot of territory this week, and we have. A lot of good things have happened. So I think we owe it to ourselves to sit back on our laurels a little bit and drink our spiritual coffee or Coke or whatever you drink, and then read our spiritual paper and rest. But the Holy Ghost is saying, I will do more if you will take a hold of those things that are coming against your mind and begin to pull them down. Begin to cast them down. Come on, I'm talking about the gospel. I'm talking about the gospel according to me and to you. I'm taking into captivity every thought that is against the will of God, the plan of God, and the purpose of God. I'm tearing down and casting down every stronghold. And so, Paul further admonishes us not to cling to thoughts that do not conform to the life and teachings of Jesus Christ. He did not walk according to the flesh or his worldly desires. Instead, he conquered the flesh. He dealt with the flesh. The fact that we're tired right now could be our greatest enemy. The fact that we are fatigued right now. The fact that that some of us are thinking, when are we going to move to something else right now? It's very possible that the enemy could use that against us to our disadvantage and begin to work against the body to do everything that he can in his power so that we cannot have the kind of move of God that he wants us to have in this church and in this service. We got to cast it down. We literally have to grab a hold of it and throw it out of our mind. Throw it out of our heart. And basically, chunk all that mess that gets in our mind somewhere else into some spiritual landfill. And let the glory and let the power and let the positive things of God begin to touch us. Of the positive things such as, I am going to receive my miracle tonight. I am going to receive the Holy Ghost tonight. I am going to be victorious. I am going to be more than a conqueror. Come on, it begins when we get a hold of our mind. We've got to get a hold of this right here. This thing right here is what determines our destiny. This thing right here is what determines if we go to heaven or hell. This thing right here determines whether we're saved or we're lost. This thing right here, underneath the cranium of our skull, it determines whether we are going to survive or whether our back is going to hit a wall. Come on, somebody. Paul said, I bear in my body the marks and the time of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's got to get a hold of us. It's got to shake us. We've got to come to the realization and wake ourselves up and realize that often we are our greatest enemy. He explains his strategy in 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. In observation, the work of the ministry is a continual warfare. Some people are so narrow-minded to think that all preachers do is sit around and drink Starbucks and eat fried chicken all the time. We get up and preach on Sunday, and then we take a vacation the other 6 days of the week in our easy chair. All I've got to say is wake up. Get real. Some of them even go as far to say, preachers never work. What do you call praying? What do you call fasting? What do you call counseling? What do you call doing spiritual warfare? What do you call dealing with spirits and attitudes in the church? Sounds like a full-time job to me. What about teaching? What about counseling? What about visitation? Come on, somebody. If we're going to have revival, we've got to change our minds. And in changing our minds, we've got to change our attitude. We've got to change our perception. We've got to change the way we look at things and view things. And when we do, we will experience the glory of God, the power of God, the anointing of God in a way that we never have before. But stinking thinking has got to go. Carnal thinking has got to fall by the wayside. A mind that is uncontrolled and an imagination that runs wild has to be held in check. The truth of the matter is, God wants to fill people with the Holy Ghost in this service tonight. God wants to deliver people and set people free. I'm going to tell you how I feel right now. I wish that the Holy Ghost would get a hold of people's minds so strong that it would shut the message down right now. That it would shut everything down right now. And God would do what He wants to do. That's what happens when our minds truly come to the place where we're supposed to be. But you show me a church that says, I'm going to put my mind into what's going on. I'm going to focus upon what's happening and what's taking place. And I can tell you, it's going to produce a revival. It's going to produce apostolic ministry. It's going to produce signs and miracles and wonders. But there comes a point and there comes a time. Somebody's getting a hold of it right now. We need a baptism to touch our minds like never before. Oh, God. He's going to help us tonight if we will just take personal responsibility. I don't care how gifted or anointed a preacher is. If the congregation's mind is not healthy, if a congregation's mind is not right, that church isn't going to move. That church isn't going to flourish. I've been fortunate to preach in a lot of revival churches that received what God had given me. But oh, I'm telling you right now, I've also been in some dead churches. I've also been in some half-baked churches. I've also been in some churches that were burdenless and tearless and prayerless. And it didn't matter if Anthony Mangan was preaching in that church. They were not going to move. There comes a point and there comes a time that we just, as the old timers used to say, we just need a good old praying through. And that's what we need half the time, is a good old praying through. We've got to pray ourselves through. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm fixing to really step out there. What you are thinking about right now is what you worship. I was accepted once again. Hold just a moment. I want the gift to operate, but God wants to take us in a different direction right now. Thank you, sister. The truth of the matter is, if you're thinking about Kobe Bryant right now, you're worshiping Kobe Bryant. If you're thinking about LeBron James, you're worshiping LeBron James. If you're thinking about some rock star, you're worshiping them right now. If you're thinking about some country western group, you're worshiping them right now. If you're thinking about beer and cigarettes and drugs and everything else, you worship that thing in your life. Who are you going to worship? Are you going to worship those things? Or are you going to worship Jesus Christ? We've got to make up in our minds. We've got to determine and draw a line in the sand once and for all. I belong to Jesus. I am a child of the King.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. Some of us are thinking about work and about that overbearing boss that we're going to have to deal with tomorrow. Some of us are thinking about that personality that rubs us the wrong way and goes against the grain of our character. Some of us are thinking about negative things in our life. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I'll just go eat worms. Feeling sorry for ourselves. I'll tell you what that is. That's a form of pride. Inferiority complexes. It's thinking that the whole world revolves around me. I'm not loved. I'm not appreciated. I'm depressed. I'm discouraged. No one notices me. No one cares about me. I'm just being real with you because I have fought some of the same things that you are fighting. But every day of my life, I've got to remind myself of the gospel. I've got to remind myself, what does Jesus think? What does Jesus feel? What is His attitude pertaining to this situation? Come on, before we can have the power, we've got to get a hold of the gospel. We've
got to get a hold of it in our lives. Because whatever our passion is, whatever our desires are, they will eventually rule us. They will eventually control us.
Well, Brother Grisham doesn't notice me. Brother Grisham doesn't care about me. Brother Grisham didn't shake my hand. Let me tell you something. You're entertaining a false gospel.
Yeah, that's right.
You know how much your pastor loves you.
That's right.
You know how much your pastor cares about you. You're listening to the wrong voices. I told you that I wasn't going to preach on the devil tonight. But I will. I have to tell you that the voice of Satan has to be diffused at some point or another. Satan is telling some of you, there's no way that you can get delivered. There's no way you're going to get over your addiction. You need to cast down and you need to throw down that rationalization in your life. Oh, you better watch out, hell. I'm feeling wild right now. I feel like I'm a fool for Christ's sake. Come on, somebody. You just need to throw it back in the devil's face. You need to take off that ungodly, that negative time. And you need to throw it to the ground. You need to chop it down. And you say, I'm not going to let this thing control me anymore. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah.
Let's feel after the Lord for a moment. I'm feeling that pause. The gift started to operate a moment ago. Yes. Somebody obey the Lord right now. He wants to speak to us right now. God wants to speak to us further. That individual that started to give a message in tongues, I release them right now in the name of Jesus. Somebody obey the Lord. He's not through speaking to us.
Conviction must be based upon my word. And that's where you find truth. It will guide you and lead you. Don't be deceived by what you know and what you see. Only by the word of God can it be conviction guide you. You must listen to the word of God and let that conviction lead you.
Let's receive the word of the Lord right now. Yes. Yes. Shototorobokete yanamahashikotolomohosa. Hinalabakotolomorehekete yanamahai. Hirabakashekotolomohoriende yanamahai. Halabokoshai. The scripture says very clearly, hear the word of the Lord. Every head bowed and every eye closed. The word of wisdom would imply to us tonight that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world, and heavy emphasis upon spiritual wickedness in high places. Spiritual wickedness consists of a variety of things. And a lot of times we often interpret that we're having issues or problems with our thought life. We'll be sitting in an atmosphere such as this, and then all of a sudden the enemy will attack us with an evil thought. Let me get a little more technical, a lustful thought. And something immoral that it is just totally beyond our character. And so these things begin to happen. It does not mean that we're living in sin. It doesn't mean that we are evil. But the enemy comes against us with evil thoughts. He comes against the ministry with evil thoughts. He comes against the laity with evil thoughts. But the moment those things begin to hit, we've got to pull them down. We've got to cast them down. The Bible says when the enemy shall come in like a flood, that the Spirit of the Lord
shall raise up a standard against him. Hashokotoye namahasikata. I'm not going to be much longer. I'm finished preaching. The Holy Ghost is ministering right now. As a matter of fact, I want us all to stand. Hallelujah. Some of you are getting nervous because you're thinking that I'm going to call some of you out. You need to cast that down right now. I'm not going to call you out. I established that at the very beginning of this meeting. You need to trust the man of God when he speaks. But this is where we're at. The reality is some of you have visited this altar and it's been nothing more but a trip to the altar. You've come to the altar because you've just come to the altar. Anybody can come to the altar. But God wants us to get to a place tonight where we tear down some things in our mind and our heart and lay it on an altar once and for all. And that's when deliverance is going to come. I'm telling you right now, God's been revealing to me all week and even before the revival that He wants to deliver some people from their desires. The Holy Ghost spoke to me before I even came to Athens and told me as plain as I'm speaking to you tonight that I will only take my people as far as what their faith will allow. I will only take them as far as what their desires will allow me to. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to a mountain, to be thou removed and cast into the midst of the sea. I'm wondering if there's anybody here tonight. You have a faith that is desperate and you don't care who comes down to the altar, but you're ready to come down to the altar right now and receive what you've been trying to receive this entire revival. He can give you the Holy Ghost. He can give you a healing. He can touch you physically, mentally, financially, but you've got to cast every desire and every thought pattern down that is contrary to what the Word of God says. Does anyone want to come and pray? Does anyone want to make your way out of your pew? Hallelujah. We'll just follow the Holy Ghost. Oh God. Oh God. Shut up, O Koreana Eshikita. Hanariarabo Koshikiti Anamahase. Shandara Kore. Andereki Shianarabakaya. I need somebody that is anointed of the Holy Ghost and that knows how to pray to begin to move across this building and let virtue flow out of you. Halabo Koshe. Let the Lord lead you tonight. You see the needs. You see every situation. You see every hurt. You see every issue. Katoboko pehe rabahase. Keta mandere borikete yamahayasa. Hallelujah. That's it. Somebody just obey the Lord right now. He's ready to do things that are mind-boggling here tonight. Oh God. Oh God. Handarabaka shandarabaka tondolaba hoshai. Handarabeka tandiyarama hariyandiyarameka soto yere yaramandiyarabeka shai. Handiyarabako shai. Handiyarabako shandiyarabeka tandiyarama shai. Oh God. Hear the word of the Lord right now. Hear the word of the Lord. There is somebody here tonight. I don't know who you are, but there is a stronghold in your life. And the Holy Ghost would have me tell you tonight that unless you are going to make a choice, you are either going to cast it down or you're going to continue to let it reign in your life. And if you let it reign in your life, it's going to put you it's going to put you on a tailspin that's going to send you into a collision with hell itself, a situation that you cannot get out of, where it is very possible that no one will be able to help you. Help has come tonight if you will reach out and receive help. If you will open up your heart to the Lord and let Him heal you, let Him touch you, let Him deliver you, let Him set you free. Come on, somebody, you know who you are. You need to cry out to God right now with everything that is within you. Come on, we need to cast it down. I'm casting down strongholds in my life. Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Your kingdom's coming down. I heard the voice of Jesus say, Satan, your kingdom is coming down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, some of you that didn't get the Holy Ghost, God can fill you tonight. And I need some of you that did get the Holy Ghost to help me pray. Oh God.